there, because you couldn't take it out of the library. You had to read it in the stacks. I had to read what those guys wrote in their private journals to write Man in High Castle. That's why I've never written a sequel to it, because it's too horrible. It's too awful. I started several times to write a sequel to it, and I had to go back and, you know, read about Nazis again. And I'd just like to off every one of them. It's what I'd like to do, you know. But, and so I could never do a sequel to it. Somebody would have to come in and help me do a sequel to it. Someone who had the stomach for the stamina to think along those lines, you know, to get into the head. You know, start writing about Reinhard Heydrich, for instance. You have to get into his space. Can you imagine getting into Reinhard Heydrich's space? Now, Condon, you know, Richard Condon, is that his name, wrote Manchurian Candidate? Yeah, he wrote a thing called Infinity of Mirrors about Reichsfuhrer Himmler. And he knew everything there was to know about Himmler. He got into Himmler's head. Condon has the guts to do that. I could not do that again. That's why the book is, my book, Man in High Castle, set in the Japanese part, you see. Because I could deal with people, you know. But, I have little glimpses of the Nazi part, like when Mr. Tagomi hears his printout on, you know, a personality trace of the Nazi contenders for Reichschancellor. And he runs out and gets sick and falls down.
That was you.
That was me. Horrible, he said, horrible. Evil is real, like cement. Evil is, there's a pun, concrete, cement, you see? But he's thinking. His thoughts are all jumbled up.
Did you know it was going to be that torturous when you began?
The writing wasn't torturous. Writing was a catharsis for me. It was the research that was so tough. I thought I hated those guys before I did the research. After I did the research, then I had created for myself an enemy that I would hate the rest of my life. Fascism. Wherever it appears, whether it's in Germany, the United States, the Soviet Union, or anywhere, fascism, wherever it appears, is the enemy.
And yet, at least one of the Germans in that book, you, at least I came away from almost respecting in a way.
Who was that? I'll get him. Where is he?
The council in San Francisco, the German.
Oh, Rice?
Yeah.
Oh, he just sat around and smoked fancy cigarettes. And I mean, you know, I had to have somebody that I could talk to, you know, in that book on the German side. I mean, fascism and Germany are not that intimately linked. I mean, fascism is a worldwide phenomenon. It can hit, you know, a bunch of baboons swinging in the trees, you know, in Polynesia. You know, they can all suddenly put on iron helmets and march around. Fascism is very much with us today, boys and girls. And it's still an enemy. I wrote Man in High Castle with Hsien.
You did?
Yeah. I've been sorry ever since. Because when it came time to resolve the novel at the end, Hsien didn't know what to do. I mean, it got me through most of the book. Every time they cast a hexagram, I actually cast for them and got something and assigned it to them, and they proceeded on the basis of the advice given. Like when Juliana Frank decides to tell Abidson that he's about to be offed by a Zischer Heights Dean's agent, I threw the coins and she got, you know, warning, make known the truth of the court of the king, great danger, and so on. Someone comes up behind him and hits him with a club. That's what she got. And so that she did go warn Abidson. If she got another hexagram, I would not have had her go speak to Abidson. But then when it came time to close down the novel, Hsien had no more to say. And so there's no real ending on it. I like to regard it as an open ending. You see, it will segue into a sequel sometime.
When you find somebody with a stomach to write one.
Yeah. Or if Hsien ever gets off its ass.
Do you go back from time to time and throw it to see if there is an ending to it, or?
No, I don't use Hsien anymore. I'll tell you, Hsien told me more lies than anybody else I've ever known. Hsien has a personality that's very devious and very treacherous, and it feeds you just what you want to hear. And it's really spaced out and burned out more people than I would care to name. You know, like, like a friend is somebody who just doesn't tell you what you want to hear. A friend tells you what's true. Really, you know. A toady is the old word for somebody who told you what you want to hear. The kings all had their toadies around them, you know, who told them what they wanted to hear. King said, am I the greatest king in the world? Yeah, you're the greatest king in the world, yeah. Well, that's what the Hsien does. He tells you what you want to hear. And it's not a true friend. One time I really zapped it. I asked it if it was the devil, and it said yes. And then I asked if it spoke for God, and said no. It said, I am a complete liar. I mean, that was in other words, I set it up. I set it up. I asked two questions simultaneously. And it said, I speak with forked tongue, is what it said. And then it said, oops, I didn't mean to say that. But it had already
Then you get a paradox.
Oh, I watched a girl do this to it once.
I mean, that's the paradox.
So
it's lying when it says it's lying.
It's just full of, it's crock is what it is. Slotik, John Slotik said this in his debunking book, you know. It's got some, he covers everything from Scientology to the Mafia. He says that none of them exist. And he says the I Ching, you know, Slotik did a parody of my writing, you know. This is much better than anything I've ever done. Have you read Slotik's parody of my writing? Chip Dick K. Kill.
Oh, yes.
It's so much better than anything that I can do. And I walked around, and I was really off the ground, walking on cloud nine after I read the parody. And I wrote Ed Furman, who's the editor of FNSF. Those appeared originally in FNSF. And I said, I have talent. Slotik has genius. And Ed Furman wrote back and said, fine, I'm going to buy a lot of stuff from Slotik now. And he did. He commissioned 8 more parodies. And they're all marvelous. You know, parodied Asimov. Slotik said I was the hardest person to parody. I have his book in front of me now. In England, it's called The Steam-Driven Boy and Other Strangers. Slotik says the I Ching's a hoax, and Slotik is right. His parody on me is called Solar Shoe Salesman. And then somebody consults these piles, and it gives him many small greatnesses denied, no same. It does not further to discover gifts only. The wise king avoids fried foods. And I says, oh, Slotik, you finished it off, man. I can never consult the I Ching again. And I'll start laughing. I'm looking at this parody and I'm saying, you know, if I could write as well as Slotik. So, that's another thing that brought me back into writing science fiction when I started to talk about being a mainstream writer, you know. We're using science fiction as a crash pad rather than a legitimate...
Yeah.